That's how winning is done.
You.
What's that?
Stop disrespecting, bro.
I respect you, bro.
Okay, I respect you too. Okay.
Are you not entertained?
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Let's start building some hurting bombs.
It's about damn time.
Oh, my.
I want my money's worth.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Stop saying that.
Today, I become number one.
More questions.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed.
We're leveled?
Level.
We're leveled.
Three.
You talking? You gotta get close, homie.
One.
You wait. You walk.
Get
you
up show. On that shit, man.
Yeah, man.
One, two.
Same like before.
Fuck it. Yeah. What happened? What happened before? It was better. We didn't have to be all on top of it.
Well, you've always come off far, man. You, wow. Whenever you're here, and for those of you wondering, this is the voice of 3-time repeating guest, Orlando Leyva. Back in the house. Thank you very much for coming out.
Welcome.
Welcome back. But for you, you've always done the... for you,
yeah.
You've always come in and you've always talked back, but you, it's always been a... I don't want to say it's an issue, but it's a thing.
Issue.
It's a thing.
We're going to have Alex here. But
Alex, yeah. Maurizio?
Alex Maurizio. Yeah. I worked with him. Me, Orlando... We worked, and Alex, we did a gig on Saturday at PAX.
Oh, that's right. Laugh It Up.
And I was like, hey, you want to do a, we're talking shit outside, talking about the Oscars and blah, blah, which we'll get into in a minute. Just give me a second.
Yeah, of course.
And we were talking, and sure enough, I was like, hey, man, you should do the podcast. He's like, man, I would love to. Let me know when. I go, well, we record every Monday. You let me know. And he goes, well, I'm down for not, you know, tomorrow, Sunday. This is Saturday.
He goes, right.
Tomorrow, yeah, I'm down for this Monday. 2 days, I'm down.
I'm off.
All right, cool.
I'm off.
I'm off for it. I'm like, cool, man. Let's do it. All right. At the end of the night, he goes, hey, let me get your number. I'm definitely what I'm doing. I'm like, hey, man, no pressure. Whenever you want, you just let me know. I told him it's at my house. He goes, yeah, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Cool. Orlando was there. Orlando was like, hey, man, I'll go with you. I'll show up and we'll all four do it. It'll be fun. All right, cool, man.
It'll be the first time. It'll be four people.
Yeah,
four,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So it'll be great. I get a text from him today. He goes, hey, man, this is Alex. Orlando just let me in on how the whole podcasting works. I thought that I could just call it in. I thought I could just call you and just do a phone interview.
A phone interview?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I'm not. I told him. I go, nah. He goes, oh, let me know if you're interested in doing. I'm like,
he's in this. He's in the area.
Yeah, he's in the area. But I'm like, no. Nah. I'm like,
no. He's not in the area.
He's in South Beach.
Yeah.
He comes.
I come from
South
Beach. The beach.
They could have carpooled.
Yeah.
I would have picked his ass up.
Yeah, but it doesn't make a difference. My point is.
But he's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
He's not going to ride with Mike.
And he's, yeah, exactly.
What the fuck is wrong with me?
He has an M3.
Yeah. That's fine. So I'll ride with him.
Carpooling with him, right.
Or not. I would have met him. Who gives a fuck?
Right. My point is.
Yeah, not only is he a doctor, he's like the chief doctor. He's like, he has doctors that work under him.
Yeah.
Directs doctors.
So then I was like, nah, don't worry about it. No pressure. Like, you know, open invitation, no pressure. But I just started laughing because I was like, yo, like, it's not, you know, I don't understand what the big deal was. You could have just come. And he's like, whatever.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's.
I don't know.
Just have him call in now. But like, what the fuck is wrong with
you? But the funny thing is, like, he was like, well, I just thought it was going to be like a phone interview. And in my mind, I was like, I don't want to interview you.
We're just here to talk about shit.
We just have a conversation and you chime in and we all be part of a conversation. I'm not interviewing. I'm like, you got nothing. What am I going to, not for nothing, but I'm like, what am I going to fucking interview a doctor? That's going to be my podcast. And interview a doctor who does comedy on the side. Like, you can't.
Yeah, it would add that to the podcast.
The only person that we ever interviewed that I would say it's an interview was last podcast episode
with Angel Lopez.
Yeah. Been to the Grammys. He's had a number one hit album or number one hit song, I should say.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Who?
Angel Lopez, Apuro Dolor.
Oh.
You don't know, but it's fine. But my point is.
I told some people that I played that I got to jam out with Angel Lopez and they're like, I don't know who that is. Yeah. The second I told them who, they're like, oh, yes,
the
of course.
The moment I told them the song.
The song, the second you play the song, everybody,
same thing with Sunshine.
everybody.
Sunshine on Saturday, she's like, I don't think I've ever heard of him. Then I played a clip of the song, and she goes, I don't think I've ever heard this. And I go, wait to the chorus. And then the chorus kicked in. She goes, oh, my God. Yeah, like,
yeah, everybody in Miami. This.
Well, maybe for, like, your podcast listeners, you guys should, like, throw the song in there. At least the chorus. Did,
but you
we played it.
Heard it.
I played the song with the man. I got
played it with...
With a guitar, a little acoustic jam session here in Woolboro Studios.
Wow.
We're branching out.
So again, my point to all this is saying, hey, that I interviewed him.
Yeah.
And even that, I try to not make it. I don't like interviews. I'm not good at interviews. I'm good at just talking shit with people and just have a conversation.
Interview implies you're trying to get something out of it.
Yeah, interview. And we're trying to, I'm like, I don't.
We have way too much time. Like there's plenty of time here to just talk.
Yeah.
You don't need to direct questions or.
And I started off doing a questioning thing with him, but I just.
You're like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this doesn't feel good. I don't like it. But anyways, welcome back, Lando, man. Since you've been back, and I'm just going to blow up your spot a little bit, man. Very, very proud. Very, very happy. That you won the Florida's Funniest Contest.
That's right.
This year.
Thank you.
About a month ago, right?
Thank you.
I thought it was great because I was actually there.
Use the applause button. Use the applause button. Thank you.
But I was there that night. Mm-hmm. You know, I closed the show, but I was there that night and I was brooding. I remember you and Ramon.
Yeah.
And I told both of you in front of each other, I said, yo, one of you better win this shit. Like, I'm like, not even.
No,
like,
man. Mike wasn't there, but like, just, and whoever's listening out there, like, he turned into Vince Lombardi.
Oh, he put on a speech.
He was the coach.
Yeah.
The coach.
That's awesome.
Like, you guys bring it home. Blah, blah, blah. Certain amount of curse words were said.
Yeah.
You know, and he was
just
so.
Like,
before I'm going on stage, he's like.
Like, he's trying to hype you up, giving you the.
He wasn't hyping up. He was just like, this is it. This is
he's like the dad that says, if you don't win, you're not coming home.
Yeah.
You're out of this family.
I just didn't want.
You're the dad from Varsity Wolves.
I didn't want somebody to win it. First of all, I was completely being a homer, and I wanted somebody from the home, I feel from South Florida, which the only two entries from South Florida were from Miami being Orlando and from West Palm being
Ramon.
So I wanted somebody.
And John Gregory was there.
And John Gregory, you're right. He was there. I wanted a South Florida home team, right, to bring it home, to keep it home, I guess, and to use all the sports cliches in the world. But I just know these two guys, and I'm like, these two guys are
fucking
one
funny.
Of the fucking funniest people, and you gotta, you know, it can't. Like, I just knew the competition out
it's
there.
It's funny how the comedy, other parts of Florida, it's just so different.
Yeah.
Like, the styles are just completely different.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, they're completely different from each other. And it was a good, as far as talent was, I didn't even enter this year at all. I didn't want to get involved.
Right.
But I saw a lot of different variety of different kinds of comedy, which I thought was great. As far as the competition is concerned, it wasn't nobody was like the other person. There wasn't like two. It wasn't like, oh, this guy's observational and they're all observational, or this guy's. You had guys that were doing music cues, you know, physical acts. You had. You know, storytellers, you had joke tellers, you had a variety of things, and I thought that was awesome.
Right.
And I'm not bullshitting you, and I am not saying this because he's in the room. Orlando went up on stage. This is how good Orlando did. He was getting
He
was getting applause breaks. People were fucking cheering and whistling. This is in West Palm Beach.
They don't do that there.
Not only do they not do that there, he is from Miami. So if you're going to say, oh, yeah, he packed a room full of his friends.
Right.
Orlando, how many people did you have that were there that knew you, aside from me and your wife?
Man, like a real special moment. My dad, man.
Yeah.
Like that dude.
So man, how many? Just number.
No. Other than you and my wife, five people.
This place was
family,
packed.
Like,
this is Palm Beach.
Yeah.
The place is packed.
That place is huge.
I saw people like cheering in the middle of his act.
Yeah.
Like it was, and it was
that
multiple,
wasn't even the closing.
And it wasn't even multiple times. It wasn't even one time. I'm sorry. It was multiple times where they were just fucking applause.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
that's
he was
awesome.
Killing it. And I told Ramon, Ramon went up after Orlando, and I told Ramon, I said, hey, you got to ride this fucking wave right now. This is it. You got to ride this fucking wave.
I like
this
how you're the comedy coach.
This is, I'm like, because this is, here's the thing. A lot of people were getting intimidated by that.
Yeah.
By, like,
yeah,
this guy killing. I would not. I'm like, oh, this motherfucker's killing it. This is going to be easy for me. This is like putting a surfer on the surfboard when the surfboard's already on top of the wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're already up. It's already, you don't got to wait for it and wait for the fucking wave to come and just like try to see if, yeah, this is going to be going. This is it. You're already on the fucking top. And I told Ramon that, yo, you got to ride this shit now. Like, this is, I flat out, I said, Orlando's winning this right now. You want it. You got to take it. But you just ride this fucking wave. This is the easiest shit you got to do.
Wow.
And Orlando hit it that hard that when they announced the second person, when they announced second place winner, I'm not trashing anybody. I don't want to trash anybody. But when they announced a second place winner, I knew that moment. I went up behind Orlando and I said, because I was having a conversation with somebody else off stage. And I said, did he just win it? Did it just, and they would say, no, he got second place. And I said, you got this shit. It's, yeah, done. Like, there's no way. Undeniable. Like, it was one of those things.
I told you, Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi, bro.
He was un-fucking deniable. Yeah. And that's one of those things where everybody that does auditions, they got to say, you got to create a problem. That's what Orlando did. Orlando went in there and be like, hey, I've been doing this for 2 years. I'm creating a problem for the judges because there's no way that you're not going to give it to me.
No, and the judges were telling me, I guess they all talked and they were like, when they came up to me, they go, you've only been 2 years, you're going on 3 years. And I go, yeah. And I guess yeah, someone was telling them when they were in the,
right,
in the judging process and stuff like that. But man, everybody did good. And the lady who went on before me, she had a great set. Because Vanessa told me, my wife Vanessa told me, I was worried about you, but I have that same mentality as Neri, that like I get happy when the guy in front of me is doing great. Right. I get
everybody's
so
laughing
happy
already. They're all looped up.
Yeah, yeah, it's like getting someone to say yes.
Right.
You got them saying yes, so it's all about you coming up there and getting them to say yes.
Undeniable, and, bro. I was fucking thrilled for him.
That's so dope, man. So although, it was great. You know, I do always have an issue with any contest thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like hyped now, like, oh yeah, man, you did it. Like I'm excited for
it. Well, yeah, I mean, awesome. The longer you've been doing comedy and the longer you've been doing contests, you get kind of jaded when you go, you know.
Yeah.
But you see a lot of contests go one direction or the other that maybe you're not happy with the results or whatever the fuck. And it jades you. And that's what happened with me. I was like, yo, I'm not entering this contest again, dog. I did it last year. I got to the finals and I was like, I'm not doing this shit again.
And you lost to Eric.
Eric Myers. Which was.
Yeah, well, he deserved it. Yeah, I mean,
he's a baller. That guy's dope.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I was like, I didn't go, and I'll be honest with you, and I did not go in it last year to win it. I went in it last year to get in front of the judges who are comedy club bookers throughout the state.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't need to win this. I don't need a title. I just wanted you guys to see me so you guys could book me. And they all loved me. They all gave me their information. They go, man, send us your avails. And I did that for a few months and I got nothing out of it. And I was like, I'm not doing
this. It's like.
So then I got jaded. So
it's a lot of talk.
Yeah, so then it goes with what you were saying. But.
Well, I wasn't going to do it this year. And because I'm kind of like a little bit like you, Mike, where like I don't like contest. I like us just to be like, yeah, let's all go on stage and be funny.
Yeah.
But Ramon Garcia, man, he's in that circle of people that I trust, and he goes, no, submit, Orlando, submit, because you don't know where it's gonna take you. And then I have this mentality, and I think it's from Inside the Actor's Studio with George Clooney. And he says, when you go to audition, this is for people in Hollywood and audition for shows. He goes, nothing, when you go in audition, nothing changes about your life.
Right.
When you leave out that room, unless you get the part. So if you didn't get the part, guess what? You're still living the same life. Nothing's going to change. And tomorrow you get up there and you audition again.
That's what happens to me. Like, whenever I go to an audition, like at the beginning, I used to stress. Remember when I told you I'd have an audition for this thing?
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh man, I got this thing coming up. I get excited about things now where I'm like, oh shit, I auditioned for a Volkswagen commercial, Tag Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's cool. But I'm excited about it in a different way than I used to. I used to be like, oh, I want it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to go in there. Yeah. I'm going to be awesome. And then I'm like, it doesn't fucking matter. There's so many other things. It's so random. Mm-hmm. That you have no idea what they're looking for. I used to get like fucking sick to my stomach about mm-hmm. it. And then now it's like, if I get it, it's good. If I don't, it doesn't matter because I'll never hear. I'll never hear back that. I'll never hear a no. I just won't hear back.
No.
So it's never gonna hurt as much,
No, but the contest, it was a great night, and people tell me, man, like what happened and stuff, and I say, and people think I'm being like nonchalant, but I just say, the light shined on me the right way. Like it was, everybody's had that moment on stage where nothing that you say
that you can do no wrong.
You can do no wrong.
Like everything you say, you can Holocaust joke, and boom,
I just think I hit that spot where it was just like everything. And then the what Neri said, like, weirded me out. But like the applause breaks, really, like the applause breaks are like mortal. Like this thing can kill you. Applause break can kill you.
Oh, because it eats up time?
Yeah,
it throws you off your rhythm.
You know, this, I guess I'm not telling people what to do or anything. I'm not saying. I'm speaking from my experiences. Long time ago, I see which is the guy who runs Blue Collar Comedy, the one
Jeff Foxworthy?
Yes. He does he did an interview about doing Letterman and stuff and getting an applause break.
Oh yeah,
and how he had to edit his thing in I Am Comic. That's correct. And I was ready for that.
That shit's
100%
without
knowing that I was ready. That certain information that he put out there stayed in my head. So in my head, I'm editing jokes as I'm getting the applause break.
Yeah, you're feeling the timeout.
I'm trying to take stuff out. And
yeah, I totally get it, man.
It's magic, man. And I'm glad I'm here, man. Not because I've already told them thank you, but like thank you to Neri, because it was like being like, okay, you have not the it's a packed house, but I got a few people here who are like my home team.
Support, man.
Yeah.
My home team, you know?
That's why people get comfortable in certain places. Like you can see when you do a show at the Miami Room and then you do a show at West Palm, it's like a different vibe.
Yeah.
Like I just hosted in West Palm on Thursday. I hosted for Frank Del Pizzo and who else was there? But, that literally they had like a Century Village type adult living community that was their outing, and there was like 100 people over the age of 70 up front. They got there early, so they were all up front, and that became the show. And that does not happen in Miami. That doesn't, it's always different. So like it's good to know when you have someone there that'll ground you, like, oh well, this part you're gonna go get it, you're gonna do all this stuff, because then it's like, oh yeah, I'm just gotta do the same shit.
Yeah,
I just gotta get out there and do my thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's how it worked out.
But again, man, glad it worked out. Congrats again.
2012 Florida's Funniest Comedian, Orlando Leyva.
Yeah.
Woo! Take it off.
Oh my goodness! All right, so the Oscars was yesterday. The Oscars happened last night. If you're listening to this, it happened last week or this week, or you know when the fuck it happened. You're not
the Oscars.
Listen,
happened.
You're in the gym, you're in your car, you are at school, you're at work, and you're not really working, and maybe you're doing data entry, and you're on your earphones, born out of your mind, and you're listening to this. I'm not here to tell you when the Oscars were. You know when the Oscars were. Okay, I'm not here. I'm not commanding you. I'm not
yelling. I'm not telling you how to live your life.
I'm not telling you how to live your life.
I'm not telling you.
All right, you you know when the Oscars were. And if you didn't, then you have Google to your disposal.
Yeah.
And if you are not a fan of the Oscars or a fan of movies, I find it difficult. You're going to be a fan of this podcast.
Why are you listening?
It may be that Orlando's dad is listening.
Oh.
And he's like, I'm not a big fan of movies, but I'm a big fan of my son. So whatever he's on.
Orlando's people.
Aww.
Aww.
Anyways, so we So the Oscars happened, right?
And, overall,
I want to know what you guys thought about. Did you watch it, Lando?
Yeah, I watched it today on Hulu.
All right. So did. I want to know what you guys thought about, first of all, Seth MacFarlane to start off with.
I genuinely dug him as a host. There was a lot of hate on Twitter because what I was doing was watching the show and then Twitter. I was, you know, that was the live feed. Right. And there was just people just bad mouthing. That's a lose lose for that guy, no matter what, because people are gonna talk shit.
Yeah,
no, I don't think it's a lose lose.
But people were talking shit about him because they were like, he's not a comedian. He's a writer. He's not a performer and all this stuff.
Well, I disagree. I thought he did a great job as a performer, and I think he did a good job as a host, moving the show along and so on and so on.
Exactly.
I could have done with a few less.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the show was getting long jokes.
Right, right.
You're making the show longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I retweeted that. Yeah. Somebody put
Will Watkins, wasn't it?
No. Somebody put
I
have an idea about for next year's Oscars. Stop all the jokes about how long the show is. That should fix the problem. Problem fixed or something like that.
I love the Will Watkins one. It was Will. You retweeted
that
one.
Yeah, I retweeted that one as well about Will Watkins. If Seth MacFarlane was an open mic host, he would be the one doing jokes in between every act.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
That's exactly what it is.
I thought it was a good host as far as moving the show along.
I liked the intro.
I didn't think he was funny at all. If this was baseball, he would be sent back to the minors.
I don't think
he wasn't Derek Jeter in the playoffs last year. Right. I'm sorry, not Derek Jeter. A-Rod. He wasn't A-Rod in the playoffs last year.
Not that bad. No.
But he was.
He wasn't that bad.
Not
good. But I will say this, like the opening, first of all, like the people, you're kind of setting these people up. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not an easy gig because there's
another. I don't think it's an easy gig.
He's
at all.
Representative for the writer's staff that they put the show.
Well, he's a writer himself on his show.
So think about how limited though he there were probably a million jokes that he could not get away with, and there were some that he got that he's put in there that I thought were like kind of really taking shots at people. But
I don't think he took it. The only person he took a shot at was Abraham Lincoln. That's the only one he took a shot at.
And people still groaned at
it. Right. But that's the only one he took a shot at was a literal national treasure. Literally.
He did the whole saw your boobs.
Right. That's what I'm saying. What I'm trying to get at is the opening number. The whole opening scene. The whole
before Ben Affleck came on stage, he had the one slick comment. He said
Argo was so classified that they forgot to nominate him for best director.
Right.
Yeah. He also threw the Jennifer Aniston as she's coming up, talking about that out of these two, like saying that also Jennifer Aniston has also stripped. I guess what's that guy's name?
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum is
Magic Mike.
Yeah, he said that he's the only one that admits that he used to strip before he became an actor. Jennifer Aniston. Yeah.
Well, look, he was just—he's trying to take shots, but he's also trying to look. The number that he brought out, Channing Tatum and Charlize Theron, who looked hot, and they did the dance number.
As a performer, I think he did well. So when people say, "Oh, he's not," he performed like above, like he performed really well,
really well.
But the jokes were just bad. He did a lot of jokes, and there's some bits that didn't work. That whole thing with the. There are some of them where you could tell he was writing a Family Guy skit,
right?
Where he were like, I forgot what he was doing, and he was like, and now presenting the, and then they kept looking at the door, and I forgot what it was for.
Yeah, it was, and then the Von Trapp family
and the Nazi comes in
because Christopher Plummer was the Von Trapp was in Sound of Music, right. And he was, you know, and then they brought him out, and then that was the next thing. I thought that was clever. I thought it was funny because I got it.
Clever doesn't mean funny.
But that's the whole point, is that he even said it.
He goes, that's a long way to go for that joke. That was a long way to go for not that funny.
Going a long way for the joke, that is what Family Guy is. Family Guy is going a long way for the joke. That's why they picked him.
I don't know if you're aware, but this was the Oscars, not Family Guy.
But why do you think they picked him?
They didn't pick him so he could do jokes to go a long way and not get laughs.
They picked him so they could get the ratings. So months before the Oscars even aired, people are already there's a buzz about, oh, he's going to go on. Oh, he's going to be mean. Oh, he's going to be the same way that they picked Gervais. They picked him twice to host something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they just want that. So it is what it is.
But he took shots at Mel Gibson at the beginning.
Yeah, he did. You know?
Yeah.
He took shots at Mel Gibson. I really enjoyed him as a host and a show. I totally agree with that. I don't think he was funny. That's all I'm saying. I enjoyed him as a host. I thought he did a good job as a host. He moved the show along. The dance numbers were really funny.
Have you thought was funny?
Tina Fey and
right.
They were
fucking amazing.
And they addressed it. He even addressed it.
Name another person. Like, who else does as well as Tina Fey and Amy Poehler?
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais got, but he
got in trouble.
He got in trouble for being mean.
He wasn't funny. He got in trouble, but they asked him back two more times. Yeah, he did it three times. So whether he gets in trouble or whether people talk a lot of smack or whether people groan, they still asked him back two more times.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It can't be that bad.
For the ratings and the controversy is. But he was basically, but the Oscars is different than the Emmys.
I totally agree.
The reason, remember when Jon Stewart hosted it?
First of all, what's her name? Did a really good job too.
Anne Hathaway
did a really good job.
James Franco.
It just happened to be that she was carrying, like, her shoulders were hurting by the end of the night because she was carrying that fucking show by herself.
Dead weight motherfucker.
James Franco was high as fuck.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, hey, you're an actor. You may want to act like you're not high right now and get this.
You may want to act like you give a shit.
Always looks the same everywhere.
He's got that nonchalant, too cool guy. Like, he's too cool for himself, that guy.
Yeah.
But, like, even Jon Stewart, Jon Stewart
did a good job.
But that's the thing, is that people didn't like him. The general public, keep in mind, this show is not for comedians. Mm. The show is for Hollywood.
Yeah.
The show is not for us to, you know, like, it's to sneak a joke in there here and, like, to make it, like, not.
Billy Crystal did a good job up until last time, and that wasn't his fault.
Well, that's the thing, is that. He's good, but he's not relevant now.
Well, no,
but you got to give it up.
Being relevant is that he came in late notice because Eddie Murphy dropped out. So
you got to grade
with a curve and go, wasn't that great.
Because that guy, he prepared for a long
time. Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin did a really good job.
Yeah.
Really good job.
That was very fun. Again, a tag team.
I would just get Alec Baldwin. Why can't you just get Alec Baldwin to do it?
He said no. That's the thing, is that
don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Seth MacFarlane.
He was like the third choice.
He did, really? Was he?
I thought so.
How do you know that?
Someone that was reported somewhere. I remember hearing that. Like,
he has a show.
And he said something about it.
Deviating for a second, Alec Baldwin has a show on...
30 Rock?
No. He has a show on NPR Radio.
Right.
Look it up. You can look it up. It is so good, man.
Really?
That guy is so funny, man.
He's a great, like...
And the voices, he switches his voices, these characters that he knows. And he interviewed David Letterman the other day.
Right.
Like, that's one of the most recent interviews he did with David Letterman. And it was a great insight into David Letterman.
I didn't like Chris Rock at all.
Well, that's what I'm getting at is the whole point of that, it being funny is... secondary to it being
Ellen did good.
A night. Yeah, you're right. Ellen did really well.
But, I hate to talk about money, but I wonder what that payday looks like.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
Because you don't do that one. You don't do that for free.
Oh, hell no. That's a
why would you do that? Nobody does that for free.
This is a huge gig, bro. That's like
it's an amazing gig. Months of work too.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Preparation.
Yeah,
because one of the writers for the Herald is a writer for Billy Crystal.
Yeah, Dave Barry would write on the Oscars for Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
I actually like that guy's writing, too. I like his comments.
Dave Barry's really funny. He's on Paul and Ron all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He's really funny.
Good for him.
And he wrote that movie Big Trouble with Tim Allen and Rene Russo. That movie came out like right after 9/11 and made no money because it was about a bomb on a plane.
Yeah.
And they pushed it back like way back. But if you watch that movie is fucking really smart, real clever.
We've talked about this before. You've come over to my house and I've been watching it at my house, that show Last Man Standing, the Tim Allen show.
Yeah,
it's good, huh?
It's a really funny show, man. It's like, I know, I've seen every episode of that show from the get-go, because Tim Allen, to me, I probably wouldn't have watched it if it wasn't for the fact that at that moment I remember waking up early, this before the kid or whatever, but it's like months before that show aired, I would wake up early and I would watch episodes of Home Improvement.
Yeah.
And I forgot how good that show was.
Yeah.
And I go, no, that's really, that show still holds up. It's still very funny. And it's a totally, I mean, it's a totally, it's a shtick. His whole like male machismo, you know, it's a shtick.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a really funny show regardless.
The later episodes when they were like dwindling, those suck. But even then, they still have some solid jokes in there.
Well, the only reason that, I don't think that they sucked. I think they weren't up to par with what they had been doing for years.
They had established but, much
and
better
because they
show.
Went too sappy with it. They went too like serious shit.
They and they changed, they changed the mom.
No.
They didn't change the mom. No. The
you're talking
later,
about Will Smith. You're talking about the. You're talking about Fresh Prince.
They Fresh Prince. The they changed the mom.
The Home Improvement. What happened was
the kids left.
Tim Allen had started making
one kid left.
Yeah, the one kid left.
Tim Allen started making more money than all the other actors, and even the mom. So like in the bio about it, they say like a lot of animosity built up during the last seasons of it.
But I thought it was a great show
because
I was riding the wave of Tim Allen, like, oh man, Home Improvement was a good show, and then maybe like a year later the show came out, the Last Man Standing. I started watching it. It's a really good fucking show. Like, I think it's really funny. Sitcom has become a lost
It's a lost art.
Not only is it a lost art, but...
I haven't paid attention to the credits. Is he like, what is it?
Producing and...
executive. The last episode I saw was him with the grandkid, and they're building the little cart.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was last week's episode.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
That was last week's episode. That was great, 2 weeks ago.
Where he wants a kid to keep his own last name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, that guy's inspirational.
But that guy...
For cocaine.
Yeah.
No, prison. He went to prison for cocaine.
Yeah, back in the 70s, yeah. Absolutely right, my friend.
Got discovered at 35. So that was...
Yeah, and he was one of the dirty dozens of comedy. I remember there was like a special that it was like the, quote-unquote, the dirtiest comedians out there.
He's a producer.
He was one of them.
Yeah, nobody beats Bob Saget, though.
Yeah.
As far as dirty.
There's dirtier people, but Bob Saget is
I think the only dirtier national headliner would be... Tracy Morgan.
That really
the only
you equate Tracy Morgan and Bob Saget like
Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan's the only one that makes Bob Saget look like
looks clean.
He makes him look like Danny Tanner. So that's it. Bottom line. He did a 20-minute chunk about his wife getting on a glass table, taking a shit on a glass table while he's underneath the glass table, looking at her asshole muscles percolating, and that was.
That was the set. That was the chunk.
That was it. Literally the chunk. And I want to see your asshole muscles percolating. All right there. And
you watched this go down.
Yeah, no, I watched this go down. I watched him walk 50-something people in 55 minutes. I remember watching the room going, one, counting. Let me see how many people he walks. Walks, for those of you who don't understand, who are listening, when you walk the room, that means that people get up and just walk out of the show.
Yeah.
You walk the room. You walk.
Oh, you've literally offended someone or bored someone so much that they are literally
It's usually more offended than bored.
Yeah.
Because people will stick by you more through boredom than offensive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he offended more people. Like,
you got to admire him for being that offensive. Like, that's a high level.
I don't know.
That's a high level offense.
When you get a comedian to go, oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't. That's not fun. Anyway, so all right, so that's the host, right? So we got through the host. Any thoughts about the winners? Let's go through the list because I'm not gonna go one by one on all the movies. I just want to hit the major awards. First of all, I know you haven't seen all the movies.
I haven't. You watched a bunch of them.
I watched 7 out of 9
of the best picture
ones. Of the best picture nominations. The only one I didn't see was Les Mis.
Right.
I was waiting to watch it.
You got your SAG card.
That's what I'm getting at right now.
ADD. Fucking.
No, because next year.
I get to vote.
And they give you the code and you watch them on iTunes, buddy.
Oh, that's right. Next year.
As opposed to what he's doing now.
He doesn't.
Yeah, you don't have to go through the hassle now. Closing the browser that says Adobe Flash needs to be updated. you don't have to go through that anymore. Now you get.
You're going to be legit. You're going to be able
Look, to. All I want is to legitimize my consumption of movies.
Next year, if and when you get your SAG, next year, if you haven't watched the movies, please let me vote for you. I'll just
You're
give you
gonna
my
vote for me?
Yeah. If you haven't watched the movies. If you have a legitimate, like, no, this one's the one, like, all right.
Yeah.
But this year is the one I got the close. I did 7 out of 9. I'll be honest with you, I'll be more saved for last because I know I'm probably not going
to
watch
this. Look, I haven't watched it, and I was watching the clips that they chose to show at the Oscars yesterday.
Which a lot of them had spoilers, by the way. Huge fucking spoilers, some of these.
But basically,
like, they just show, like, the one they showed for Flight for, like, Best Actor, and they show the scene at the end with the congressional hearing. I'm like, hey, that's a fucking spoiler alert, that's Oscars. The end.
Yeah.
That's Jesus. Like, you mother, like, the whole movie, you don't even have to realize it. Maybe he's, no, you know.
Yeah.
No, you
and know. Then he's like, ah.
Yeah.
But I was watching it, and I'm like, I literally said, I was in my apartment just watching it on TV, and I literally said out loud, this looks like the most depressing movie ever made. It looks like it's never going to be down. The French one about the old couple getting old and dying. And
I don't watch nothing French.
Yeah. I watch French porn.
I like how he said, I don't watch nothing French.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
Then, so. I won't even watch a French stripper.
I don't even like when I see the chef making my French toast.
I call it freedom toast.
It's freedom toast. Freedom toast. I watched the shit out of some freedom toast.
But I want
to tip me? Je m'appelle Jenny. Get away from me.
Get the fuck away from me, bitch. Yeah, go shave your armpits. Disgusting.
So weird.
I wasn't sure more. I was waiting. Like, if I would have had time, I would have seen it. But it was just during the crunch time. I watched like five movies in like the last 2 days before the Oscars. Like
heavy movies.
Yeah, and I was like, oh shit. And so
which ones didn't you see? You didn't see Amour and
Les Mis. And Les Mis, the only reason I didn't see it because I was waiting for my wife to watch it with me, but she just couldn't. She got tied up with shit, and just I was like, whatever. But
my wife is still ragging me. She's like, you told me we were going to the movie theater. Yeah, till I found out the whole movie singing.
Yeah.
Like the whole movie is singing, and they take such pride in it. And we sung it live, which as they filmed, you know, in other movies, they record your vocals and then you lip sync to those vocals. But in this movie, we sung it live as they were filming. I was like, oh,
that was a big deal. Yeah. It's the first time I've done that since like the
30s.
The talkies came in.
Yeah.
it's just invented the.
All I can say is that I was genuinely impressed. That was a big performance when they brought. First of all, it was really weird that they did, like, they were talking about Chicago.
I thought that was
what weird. The fuck when was they that said, about?
Coming up next, Queen Latifah. I'm like, what? Why does this bitch keep coming up in every fucking Oscars? She hasn't done anything. And then they announced after they came back from the break, they go, oh, it's the 10-year anniversary from Chicago, and which kind of set the motion, which it didn't.
Realistically, there hasn't been that many good. Like, there's been a few good ones.
That wasn't even the one that said it. The one that started it was Romeo and Juliet that came out prior to Chicago. That's the one that started the New Age musicals.
Which Romeo and Juliet?
The Romeo and Juliet, the Baz.
Oh no, you're talking about
I'm sorry, Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge. That's what it was.
But there was a Romeo and Juliet, the Leonardo DiCaprio.
Claire Danes. Yeah, that shit's still pretty solid.
Yeah,
shit suck balls.
What?
He doesn't like musicals. He clearly tells.
It wasn't really a musical. It was just like a really weird modern set.
Yeah, like
they were literally like, get my long sword and
they got and shit.
Their swords.
Get my long sword. Like that's a Glock.
That's a Glock.
It's a giant shotgun. That's not a long.
That's not sword. Even legal in California. You got it on the beach.
Yeah. So Moulin Rouge is the one that started.
That was another one that the director did not get nominated for. It was like nominated for like Best Picture, and then the director was not nominated.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that because when a movie sucks, the first person that gets blamed is the director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first person that should get congratulated is the
first
the
person that if you're gonna nominate this movie, you better nominate that director. In my opinion, I mean, I don't see a distinction.
You saw Argo?
I saw Argo.
Worth it?
No.
Okay.
The best tweet that I had of the night that I retweeted was Jim Norton and said, I liked Argo a lot. And if they would have been giving out an Oscar for the third best movie nominated, I would have been happy that it won.
Mm-hmm.
But that movie is not the best movie that came out. Like, in my opinion, I saw Argo. In all fairness, I saw Argo after the, oh my God, it's such a great movie hype. Right. So I go, all right, let me watch it. And I thought it was really good. I'm not saying it wasn't good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was very good. I don't think it was worth best. I don't see.
I gotta change that about myself because I judge movies on like the plot and the previews.
Well, here's the thing:
we're gonna pretend to be a movie and film the thing, and then we're gonna go and rescue some people. I was like, that's a long way for a movie, brother.
I thought it was great. I mean, I'll
but
be
that
honest,
that really sir, what is it? Zero Dark, whatever.
Zero Dark 30.
That shit Fall. From
that
the get
one.
No,
from the get.
Which one do you? Oh, Life of Pi.
Life of Pi, bro.
Really, I haven't seen.
Life of Pi looks amazing. That looks amazing,
bro. Life of Pi. I'm telling you. First of all, I wanted to see it beforehand, so I'm like, oh, I want to see it for the effects. I literally wanted to see it for the effects.
Right.
I talked about it on this podcast before, and that's a game changer. That's like it made it when I was and I saw that second to last. The only other movie that I saw after that was Beast of the Southern.
The Beast of the Southern Wild.
Right. So that's the only one. And up until that point, I had seen all the movies that I've seen. I go, man, these are all excellent movies. Actually, let me rephrase that. I saw Zero Dark 30 after Life of Pi.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching this movie and I'm going, like, this is like, I texted you. And I
said.
And I got cheesy and all archy on it when but I've been saying this to everybody. I go, I know it sounds fucking hacky, but this is a beautiful film.
Yeah, no, I did not take that.
It is a beautiful film. Like, it is not like, oh, it's a good movie.
I completely understood what you were saying.
It is a beautiful film. Like, I watched this movie going, holy shit. And it was...
I had a film person talk to me, and I'm cutting you off because I want you to tell me, does it fit that category? Who's the guy that did Birds?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Probably. Yeah, right. And I saw some of those movies, right? And then you ask me through my eyes, and I'm just a common folk in that way. I don't get it. Why do people say this guy was a genius?
Oh, okay.
But then someone that is like a film
person, filmmaker.
Yeah, filmmaker goes. It isn't that, Orlando, is that you're watching it with your eyes. At that time when that movie came out, no one had done that.
Right.
Is that Life of Pi?
That is my argument about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
The original, everybody goes, oh, it was groundbreaking. I'm sorry. I was born in 1981. I wasn't around. I wasn't born when the movie came out. Yeah. And when I was old enough to watch the movie, I had already seen a man turn into a fucking wolf. So I'm like, it wasn't groundbreaking. Star Wars wasn't groundbreaking for me. And I had the same mentality. I'm like, why is this guy considered a genius? Why is Star Wars considered one of the greatest movies of all time? I don't get it. And they said, because you're watching it with today's eyes. Same thing goes for, and I still say this about Star Wars. I give it a lot of shit. I mean, I actually do like the movie. I just give it a lot of shit that, you know. Mm-hmm. But the one movie that I still to this day is Gone with the Wind. I go, this is a shit movie. This is so shit.
Yeah.
And you go, because you're watching
it. And every year.
Century, you can't. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't watch it with eyes of times that I wasn't born in. I don't know how to, you know what I mean? And
every year there's a list, like the top 100 film of great films of all time. And it's on that list every year. You're telling me nothing else has come out that's been like
that? Well, you can still, like,
well, that's a lot. All of us, we talked about that before. A lot of politics goes into that shit too.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, Mel Gibson goes crazy and Braveheart is all of a sudden off that list.
Yeah.
Really? So you're telling me there's 100 movies better than Braveheart? You're telling me Gone with the Wind is better than Braveheart?
No.
That's but like you're telling me, like, and you said it, and Mike said it too. You're just there sitting on your couch, you flipping channels. Braveheart comes on, and you're like, no, I'm not gonna watch it.
Yeah. No, I'm with it. If you show me Gone with the Wind, I'll stay.
Yeah. Well, there's arguments for what makes something good or bad, because you can still, like, I've watched Casablanca recently.
I've never seen that one.
I've watched Casablanca recently, and I was like, this is, like, I got into it. Like, I was watching it, and then, like, there's a lot of the old Sam Spade, like, detective movies, like The Maltese Falcon and all that stuff. Right. All that film noir shit. It's still watchable. Like,
there's a lot of movies that are still watchable.
It's just so is that a better movie? Is something that maintains its, like, life, like the lifespan? Is it something that can maintain that watchability? Is that what makes it better? You know, because there's some movies that will win a best Oscar, a best picture Oscar. And then I will watch that movie once and be like, all right, That's it.
But to bring it,
can't watch it again. It was awesome, but never again.
But to bring it back around, so is that where you're putting Neri, Life of Pi?
I put Life of Pi
in. Like it's a game changer.
That's a game changer. Like, that's a game changer.
Like, everybody that was making that type of movie.
And I'm mad at myself for not tweeting this. And then later on, somebody tweeted something around this. So I'm mad at myself for that, because I remember thinking this when I watched the movie afterwards. I go, this is such a beautiful film. Like, I literally said this to myself 1,000 times. Like, this is such a beautiful film. Holy shit.
It's beautiful, yeah.
And then I said, how can this be from the same director that made Hulk?
Yeah.
Like, this is, Hulk was so shitty.
Hulk was fucking awful.
How do you make such an awful movie and then make this beautiful? Like, and then Brokeback Mountain, for all the jokes that come in with the whole gay cowboy thing, I get it. Brokeback Mountain, I wasn't a fan of Brokeback Mountain, not for the homosexual context of it, but from the storyline of, I felt the guy lived his entire life in fear, and I thought it was pathetic, and I thought it was sad. Not sad as in, oh my God, it's sad. It's sad as in, like, you're pathetic. Sad.
It's like, get your shit together.
Yeah, get your shit together.
You are in love.
You are in love, and this, the person that you're in love with, forget about the fact that it's like another guy. The person that you are in love with is so heavily in love with you that they want to just move away. Like, I'll go to fucking Mexico to be with you.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, I'm scared because people are going to. And he's rightfully so. I don't know what that fear is.
Right.
I can't speak and let me talk shit and be like, oh, yeah, get the fuck. Just fucking move. Nah, it's not that easy.
But your gut impulse is to be like, get your fucking shit together.
Gut impulse, when I watched the movie, I'm like, you are so in love with this person. That person is so in love with you. You're seriously content with a fucking fishing trip a year? Like, are you really? Like, that's it? Like, I just found it pathetic. And at the end, when he's old and fucking and hugged the guy's shirt, I'm like, that's pathetic, dude. It's sad. Yeah. But again, the beautiful love story, I'm just like, it's just fucking, you know. But Life of Pi, man. It's one of those things where
I'm definitely just from.
And I thought about Mike a lot because the main character, I'm not spoiling anything here.
Was a tiger?
Yeah, the main character.
Because I'm a tiger?
Was a self-professed many religions follower. Like, he was a Catholic, a Hindu, and I forget what else. There was three of them. And he said, and he was open, and they said, you know, they asked him, oh, you know, so one of the characters asked him, oh, you know, and all those religions, and that doesn't lead to doubt. And he goes, yeah, doubt's excellent. Doubt's, you know, like, he put it, and I'm fucking chopping up this line, but he put it that religions are like rooms in a house, and you could have more than one room in a house, and doubt is definitely one of those rooms as well.
Oh.
And because of doubt and logic and reasoning and science and all that shit, he is able that.
This is all in
the movie.
Wow.
This is all in the movie. Like, and this is, and I'm not spoiling anything that wasn't spoiled yesterday at the Oscars and the award, Life of Pi won for best adapted screenplay.
Right.
And the writer said, it's not beyond me that it wins for best adapted screenplay, a movie that is left for interpretation by the viewer.
Right.
You will watch this movie and one person will say, no, this is what happened. And the other person will go, no, this is what happened. And everybody will leave there. The movie flat out asks you, one character asks the other one, which one do you believe?
Oh.
And the guy says, gives his answer, whatever.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you right now, that movie is fucking amazing.
You know what? Like, that sounds super interesting, but it also reminds me a lot of like movies that raise good questions, I find really interesting. Like Inception was really fucking crazy, but it did raise a bunch of good questions.
Yeah.
And then I kept watching yesterday, the like makeup and costume category, and I'm like, where the fuck is Cloud Atlas?
Seriously,
bro, I'm like, I'm angry. Yeah. Like, I was like, Cloud Atlas, special effects, visual effects, adapted screenplay from the book. That, but you telling me something with six, you saw it, right?
Yeah.
Something with like seven different storylines going on, intertwined, editing. Why was it not nominated for editing? Like, I was so fucking pissed. Still, like, completely rough. Right? Fuck Ben Affleck not getting nominated for Best Director. This should have got nominated for one thing.
Three, four, probably.
For at least one. At least makeup. Even the simplest one.
Yeah.
Did you see Cloud Atlas?
No.
Dude. It was really good, but I mean, complex, and they raised a lot of questions. It wasn't widely distributed, but that shit was a fucking amazing movie. It should have been right up there.
I'll be honest with you. I saw Seven of the Nine, and the only movie that I thought from the ones I saw that, and I'm not saying it wasn't a good movie. I'm saying there's no way if you would have shown me this movie that if I would not have known that it was nominated, I would never have said this deserves a best Oscar nomination for Best Picture.
Which one?
Is Beast.
Beast of the Southern Wild?
Yeah. I agree. Best Actress. I agree that nomination. Yeah. That's she, and especially for the fact that she's a kid, but no shit. She gave a bananas performance. You go, whoa.
Yeah, I heard it was amazing.
But the movie itself.
Which one was that one?
It was an independent movie.
But that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
That's why
they're doing it. I get it, man. But there's other independent movies. I get it. I'm not opposed to independent
movies. Cloud Atlas was an independent movie.
Yes, it was.
It was the fucking Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, all these amazing special effects, Wachowski brothers, and it was independent. No one wanted to pay for it.
I'm totally with you. I'm not opposed to independent movies. I'm really not. I'm not that guy that's like, oh, I only watch shit that comes out in the major movie. I'm not that guy. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to say it doesn't deserve, but I would not have picked that movie. And I know I was going to sound completely biased. I would not have picked that movie over Avengers.
Yeah, Best Picture.
And it's kind of sound biased. I get it, but. It just won it. So, Best Actor, I thought was went to. See, Lincoln was another one that I was like.
He had the best joke of the night, I think.
Yeah,
that joke far. When they asked him to play Margaret Thatcher, yeah. And I just thought his speech and was his the best
delivery. I was like, holy shit!
It was
this guy didn't crack a smile, bro.
So perfect. Daniel Day-Lewis, that guy's good. That guy's pretty good.
He's probably insane.
Yeah. He said that his wife gets the biggest credit. He's like,
the biggest credit goes to
when he wife. Said that, I literally had one of those, we landed on the moon moments. Like, oh, my God.
He goes home.
He goes home like that.
She was fucking Abraham Lincoln.
She was fucking Abraham Lincoln.
So Abraham Lincoln cheated on his wife multiple times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Either that or she was not fucking Abraham Lincoln and just having to deal with Abraham Lincoln shit.
Yeah.
Ah, man, that hit me so hard. I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
No, I think really crazy. Like, I'm not saying it. Like,
I think they asked they asked Marlon Brando, one time an actor. I'll try to find the interview and get it to you guys. They asked Marlon Brando, hey, another actor was like, how do you do it? You know, like, I have to play this character where I'm like a drug addict, so I'm thinking like I'm probably gonna try some drugs and stuff just to get the realistic, you know, I guess right. Be like a method actor. The famous line is that Marlon Brando looked at the actor and goes, why don't you just act? And that's where it ended.
That's
like
this is brilliant.
Yeah.
So you why don't you just like pretend,
yeah,
just act,
what just play pretend. That's scene in
Daniel Day Lewis. I thought they did a really good job. You can't not like Daniel Day Lewis. I get it, but I honestly thought it was going to be Denzel. Denzel's performance in that
real, yeah, you know,
it was
so interesting,
fucking amazing. Because
that's on my on demand right now, ready to be watched.
Yeah, I mean the movie was great, but his performance, you go, holy shit. I
thought the sock puppet version of Flight was hilarious.
That was funny.
I thought that was funny.
That was good. That was funny.
That was
So then, and then,
right? That shit was funny with the planes upside down.
Said it was funny.
And then everybody's like, ah! Bro, I got such a kick out of that.
Jennifer Lawrence fell.
Yeah, that's great.
Funny. She fucking fell.
I'm in love with that girl.
And stayed down.
Yeah.
The whole time, the moment she fell, I go, get up. I'm literally saying this with the TV. Get up. Get up. Okay, get up. Oh, fuck, that sucks. Get up. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Get the fuck up.
Did you see?
She just stayed there. Then Hugh Jackman tried to fucking...
Hugh Jackman and Bradley Cooper both came to, like, her rescue and all that
shit.
But
she was already up by that. And I was like, just fucking stand up.
Nah.
I don't know, man. She fell. I guess that at that moment...
Brother, I think she has... I think she has excellent, excellent PR advice, man.
Bro, you think that may have been on purpose? To make her more like relatable.
No, she's more. She is the anti. What's that goofy, goofy girl from the Twilight series.
Oh yes, Kristen Stewart. Did you see that shit?
Hate that exactly. Bitch. Oh, I don't, like, and I'm not saying bitch as in she's a woman. I'm saying like she just looks like a bitch face the entire fucking time.
So exactly.
She's so awkward.
She, you know what?
She walked up there with a fucking limp. Isn't that the anti? I just want to stab. Everybody's the anti Kristen Stewart.
No, but I totally get what he's saying.
I get what he's saying. Same age.
I get what he's saying. But it's you are the like every there is no other Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
There is no that's the extreme horrible PR. Like the,
she had like a bruise extreme. On her arm. Did you see that shit?
She was limping and
she has a hurt foot. That was real. She was on crutches. Fuck,
but she just the fact that she was it made her talking to me made me feel more awkward than her walking with a limp and not talking about it.
Yeah, she was
and she had her arm behind her fucking back holding her other arm and I was just like, you're at the Oscars, bitch.
Yeah.
You're at the Oscars. Like, this is crazy that you're thinking you're just
have you ever seen some of those, have you ever seen those like those guys that are like those hipster guys or they used to be it used to be the like goth kids and stuff like that where they just like would never look at you in the eye and
never in your eye.
She's crotch, like
put your shoulder above their fucking
yeah
cheek.
And then
it's like genetic
thing about no it's not even genetic. I think it's also BS.
You think it's an act?
I think it's an act.
I don't like, think she's that good of an actress, bro.
I don't think
I do,
bro.
Man. Because look, man, in reality,
I know plenty of awkward people, man. And they casted her.
But to be
they casted
an actor?
Her, but they casted her to be an awkward like character.
To be depressing.
Like, to be depressing. Like, that's what they casted. They did a perfect casting job in the sense of they casted somebody who's depressing and awkward, and that's what Bella from the Twilight books was. It was depressed and awkward.
I stand corrected. You're right.
However,
I fucking hate that character.
I
hate that
character. But they did not write the character to be an awful actress. That's what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's terrible.
Depressing and awkward, but you can still deliver your lines.
How can you be depressing and awkward in real life and then be bad at being depressing and awkward in a movie?
I'm going to do some research. I'm going to see other movies that she's done before Twilight Saga.
I saw
one where she played Joan Jett.
Oh, again, The Runaways.
Another
awkward
depressing, angry, angst-ridden teen.
I saw that movie. Yeah.
But I will say this. Whoever is doing that PR, like, I bought into it hardcore. Like, I'm in love with that girl now. Like, I think that she's awesome.
Exactly.
And she's perfect for the... Because I read an interview where...
The Golden Globes, a comment that she said when she went after... who was it?
Who was this that we're talking about?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. She went after...
Beautiful.
Who did she go after?
Like I don't know. What was
like
the comment?
Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she said the
she
one
said, thank you, Meryl Streep, for not being nominated this year. Like,
yeah.
She said, I beat Meryl Streep, is what she said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and like that, and then she plays it off, and it's like, okay, I respect that.
She did great.
Look, she looks like she's having a good time.
Look, here's the thing. I would have, my personal thing, the chick, the little girl, if she would have won it, I wouldn't have been upset.
Right.
Honestly, like, I watched the movie, and I'm like, she did a badass job, man. Then Jennifer Lawrence when I saw that movie, that was like the third or fourth movie that I had seen. I think Django was the first one that I had seen from the ones that were nominated, then Argo, and then I saw Silver Linings Playbook, and I go, I love that fucking movie. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And I saw her performance. I go, man, she did a really good job. And Bradley Cooper did a non-Bradley Cooper-esque role.
Right.
I thought Robert De Niro got robbed. I can't even say that because Christian Waltz. Christoph Waltz is a beast. Robert De Niro did. I was talking to Alex about this on Saturday. He did his, like, it was one of the few non-Robert De Niro roles.
Right.
It was so good, man. It was amazing. I'm like, Robert De Niro could act again. He's not just Robert De Niro anymore. Like, he could fucking act. It was really good. And then Jessica Chastain, the one from Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, bro. She
did such a great job.
It's hard to choose.
Think about the first scene of that movie.
Where
she's watching that guy and the uncomfortableness that she felt. And uncomfortableness, I know is not a word, but I'm fucking making it a word.
Mm-hmm.
The level of uncomfort that she felt. And then at the end, when she's telling people, go fuck yourself. This is exactly, it's 100%. Just think about
that
transformation.
That transformation. Yeah, no.
And it wasn't too fast. It wasn't too slow. It was, you felt as if you knew what this person was going
through. That movie was one of those where I felt like I couldn't put it into a category. And they call it a procedural or something like that, where it's like breaking down the events and all that stuff. I was watching that, and then the whole time I was like, she's going to win. This is awesome. Like, yeah. This is going to win something. It has to win something. Something, you know.
I think she did great. I think she did great. The more I love the movie. I would say Argo was probably the fourth best movie in the
it's hard, man. Django.
You got my personal opinion.
Right.
Life of, in order, go Life of Pi, Django, Zero Dark Thirty, and then Argo.
Yeah. Hey, my wife was kind of upset with, what's his name? Quentin Tarantino. What did he do when he accepted?
Oh, well, he basically said that he's a great writer. He said he was a great writer.
I've heard him say that a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard him say that. I've heard him, like, he's not modest.
No.
At all. Like, I've heard him say that, like, on Jay Leno. When they asked him about, like, hey, how do you write, like, a character? When you write a dialogue, you write a dialogue the way it would really happen amongst friends. How did you, like, write? Like, they asked him about that. And he goes, well, not to sound cocky, but that's just good writing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But how are you gonna argue that? It's only cocky if you can't back it up, right? That's the old saying. It's cocky if you can't back it up. If you can back it up, how are you gonna argue he can't write? No. How are you gonna argue? Look at the movies he's done. You can't argue he can't. He's a fucking writer.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal writer. I heard him in an interview that they said when he first started writing, he was gonna write a book. And then he said, the reason he stopped writing the book is, he said, if I would have written the book, it would have been a great book, but I would have been known as a book writer, and I wanted to be a movie writer. So he stopped writing a book because he knew it was going to be a great book, and he didn't want to be considered a fucking novelist. He didn't want to be considered somebody who writes novels. Man. You ever stop doing something because you're going to, I'm going to be great at this. I should stop. Like, man, what the fuck?
This is going to be too good.
Yeah, and then I don't want to be considered this guy who does this shit.
I don't want to pigeonhole myself as an awesome
novel writer.
Anything. So I'm just going to be.
I haven't achieved anything yet.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
I got a
great.
No one's confirmed it but I think I'm awesome.
So he just said that he was really good writing. And when he wrote it, he gave credit to his actors. When he wrote the great piece of work that he did, and I'm paraphrasing, that the only thing he was afraid that it was going to be too difficult because he needed the great actors to actually pull off what the great writing that he did.
Yeah.
And luckily he was able to get the great cast that he got. So it was a cocky.
But you told me Jamie Foxx was in the first choice.
No, it wasn't. Will Smith. And Will Smith turned it down.
Will Smith turned it down. But even then, it would have been better. It would have been worse with Will Smith.
I don't think it would have been as good.
Exactly.
Because Will Smith just wasn't.
But
maybe. I don't know, man.
Who knows?
His acting ability is really cool in the last few movies. I mean, you take away the Men in Blacks and the fucking.
That would have shocked the world.
Look, Ali
if
alone.
He done Django, if he would have done Django.
Bro. If Will Smith would have done Django. Like, I bet you he's kicking himself in the ass now.
Well, he was supposed to be Neo in The Matrix also.
Yeah.
And then I saw an interview with him, and he goes, they tried to explain the movie to me, and they couldn't explain it. And he was like, it's like a world, it's like real, but not real. And then some animals come, but they're not really animals. And then, like, it's inside a computer, but it's not inside a computer.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, I'm going to pass
on this. I'm going to pass on it. But I'll tell you what.
And then Mr. Woltastic got it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Keanu, man. I thought he did great in that. The first one was amazing.
I think the movie was amazing. His acting,
it's Keanu.
We've all said that.
But I will say that Leo got robbed.
Leo got fucking
robbed.
Will Watkins says that Leo was overacting, and he equated. He said Leo's overact. Arnold Schwarzenegger took less nods at the camera. His overacting, something to the effect of his overacting was not as bad as
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
What?
I don't
understand that at all. He's just giving shit?
No, he really believes it.
Oh, okay.
He really believes it, but he's one, that dude. I'm just trying to read the comment verbatim because I don't want to take away from the joke because it was a good joke. He said, because I posted a thing that said 15 worst Oscar snubs, and on the picture, and the number one was Leonardo DiCaprio not getting nominated for Django. And then he says, I agree with everything except for Leonardo and Dark Knight Rises. It also said that Dark Knight Rises should have gotten best movie nomination.
No, I don't think so either.
And I said, you don't think Leo deserved an Oscar nod? And he goes, no. If the award was for best supporting actor, I would cast my vote. What was he? If the award was for best supporting over actor, I would cast my vote. Arnold Schwarzenegger chewed less scenery in The Expendables 2. And then I just put facepalm. And he said, don't drink the Leo flavored Kool-Aid, Neri. And I said, I just farted. That's what they think about you and those who don't believe in a DiCaprio way.
Jeez, man. I tell you. He said,
we've lost him. And I said, Django, please.
But I'll tell you right now, however Will Watkins disagrees with it, he did an amazing, like, that was one of the best performances like, of the year.
Does not miss. Like, I don't understand. He does not miss. His performances do not miss. Whether you like the movies. Right. So you didn't like Aviator, fine.
Right.
His performance as it did not. He saw that rotten fish and he was like that. I mean, dude, he couldn't open that fucking door to the bathroom because he was so germophobic. He was so afraid of touching the door handle.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, he's awesome. His performances are great. And, he, you know, I may not like The Aviator for the whole movie as a whole or whatever.
I like the movie Aviator, Aviator, but I didn't see J. Edgar.
Yeah.
I actually have it there. I didn't see J. Edgar. I actually like Aviator, but I remember when that movie came out, I was rooting for him. I was rooting for Martin Scorsese.
To win,
because he's been so fucking shafted. He's been snubbed so many times. The fact that, I mean, Goodfellas, you automatically got to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the fact that he didn't, so.
Well, I mean, I think Cloud Atlas was the biggest oversight I've ever seen in the Oscars. And Leo DiCaprio. But then again, who's better in that movie, Leo or Christoph Waltz? You know what I mean? Like,
but you could get two people for the same movie.
Yeah, and to be nominated.
Yeah.
But, and then I guess you put it up to the folk.
Chris Waltz, I think, was better.
Yeah.
Because he was in more of the movie, too.
Yeah.
But the shit that really pissed me off, too, was, what's her name for Best Supporting?
Kerry Washington?
No, the one who won. Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's the Best Supporting Actress in
She was in the movie for like 10 minutes.
Was she in the movie for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm wondering who the fuck was the lead actress in that movie, if it's not Anne Hathaway.
What? Oh, you know, the Amanda Seyfried.
She was the lead actress? I'm asking. I would imagine so. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. This is one of the two that I didn't see.
Anne Hathaway, Fontaine, and I actually had to sing that like songs from Les Mis in high school when I was in the choir.
Okay.
And
I'm not gonna be in front of you. You're waiting.
I'm waiting for you to take
a
shot.
You have a look that you have a look as if you were a boxer. You just got into the corner and you just put your head, put your gloves above your face and
gloves
you just
up.
Get, all right. I'm not.
But you know, I had to sing the Jean Valjean song.
I would have.
It was and you know the choir parts of it, the big chorus numbers and all stuff.
So all right.
Fantine dies very early in the movie.
Oh, so she was
in the play.
So she was really in it.
And then Jean Valjean takes the baby, Colette, to raise her.
Okay.
Right? And then that's who the main...
Oh, okay. So she was a supporting actress.
Yes. Yeah. She dies early on. That's why she was promoted. Like, if you see it, she's like...
That's why I thought. Because I haven't seen the movie. It was one of the two I hadn't seen. So
I got to give her props, man, because... Jeez, Louise. Did you see how many thank yous? Yeah. And first and last names?
Yeah, she was thanking a lot of people.
She was like, she had it down.
Ben Affleck's.
I don't want to win an Oscar just because of that.
It was so heartfelt, Ben Affleck's speech.
Ben Affleck. That's why I love the heartfelt shit. Hmm. And if it's not heartfelt, I know people are like, he's a fucking actor. Whether he's a tremendous actor, he should get another award for best heartfelt speech at the Oscars.
If that was fake, that shit was awesome.
They're great for him.
Yeah.
I love your tweet though. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see it.
This morning,
where Ben Affleck's speech.
My speech. I was like, "Fuck you, Jennifer Lopez. I'm out." And
then, hashtag Ben Affleck. You know, quotation marks from Ben Affleck. Yeah. And I thought that was great.
Because he said something about grudges.
He said you got to let them go.
You got to let them go. You can't hold grudges.
You got to let them go.
Yeah,
and it's tough sometimes. But you gotta let them go.
The whole time, I was like, "Fuck you, Jennifer Lopez."
Yeah, fuck you, Jennifer Lopez. You dumb bitch. I got myself a Jennifer. But afterwards, they interview. They gave him off stage right after he gets off stage.
Yeah, they do.
They give him a chance to keep thanking people. If you go to the Oscars website, and he kept on like thanking his wife. He was like, and he kept on thanking other people, but he was like,
God only knows how close they may have gotten to divorce. Like, who knows the behind the scenes shit
out. I didn't even think about that. I didn't think the negative. I went with the, like, this is a chick that is so dope that she's like, hey, do what you do. I'll take care of the kids.
And I got a struggle vibe from it.
He was producing, he was directing, and he was acting in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the pressure that, on that guy. And as a producer, you're putting up money. Yeah. So now you got to put up money on a film that you don't know if it's going to fuck. You know what I mean? You don't know what's going to happen, whatever. And I didn't go with the divorce thing. I thought, you know, I'm sure they went into fights and arguments. But I never went with the divorce. I just thought, man, he must be like, you see, that's that moment where you go, yeah.
It paid off.
As a married man in Orlando, go back, you get into that situation where if every so often you get into that situation where if you take a step back, you could appreciate that other person so much. You go, wow, they've really done a lot for me. Like, this is
great. Right. I can understand that. Like, I don't know it, but I can understand it.
Or she's probably the one that taught him to let go of grudges. Yeah. You gotta let him go, you know?
I can only imagine, like, that's such a weird level of fame. Because Ben Affleck, for a while there, was, like, the golden boy, right? But Matt Damon. He's kind of become, was... You know, because Ben Affleck was dropping off, doing movies like Paycheck and shit like that, and doing Reindeer Games, Phantoms. Even though Phantoms is fucking actually,
I don't even know what Phantoms is.
Phantoms, you know what? Phantoms is my old school pick for this week. I completely had a separate one, but I'm gonna go with Phantoms.
Okay,
or at least honorable mention because
don't back out now. Don't backpedal.
Phantom, I haven't seen
it. Commit.
But I really enjoyed that movie, and there's like, and I only watched it because. Kevin Smith in the Jay and Silent Bob, when they're like, bro, that dude was the bomb in Phantoms, yo. That's the only reason I watched it. And it's a solid movie. It's a solid movie. And then so Ben Affleck, you know, he got shit for killing Daredevil. They never made another Daredevil after him.
Well, in all fairness, the director sucked.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault.
And the script was bad too.
It wasn't his fault, but
truth be told, in the spirit of honesty,
sharing.
I loved that movie when it first came out.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I dug it.
I thought it was great. And then you see it later and you go, oh, this is shit.
Yeah, that's entirely right.
But I saw it when it first came out and I thought it was great.
I loved Daredevil. That's one of my favorite.
I don't.
That's one of my favorite characters.
When I saw the movie, I'm like, oh, this makes me like Daredevil. Right. I'm in it. And then I saw the movie again, and this was when, you know, DVDs weren't coming out right after DVDs. You know,
you'd have to wait a little while.
Yeah, you have to wait a little while. Not a long time, but maybe 6-7 months, and then I saw it again. I bought it on DVD. I liked it still. And then maybe a year later, I saw it again. I go, oh, this is shit.
Because then, like, Spider-Man came out.
I think Spider-Man's awful.
Right, but then, like, other, like, X-Men.
People always,
you know,
do that. Other, X-Men came out first.
Back to the Future is awesome.
Yes. Back to the Future is awesome.
All right. We just saying out.
What else is awesome?
Comments that everybody knows. We just
blowjobs are awesome.
Because I'm not that guy like you guys that'll go and revisit a movie.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. You know?
Really?
So
you know what's like that is the actor in Lord of the Rings, the guy who's a king. Viggo.
Viggo Mortensen.
He said that he doesn't watch any movie that he's in. Uh-huh. And he says that he doesn't watch any movie at all more than once. There's one comedy, and I forgot what it was, but there was one comedy that he watches over and over again. But he doesn't watch any movie more than once because he said there's so many movies out there. Why?
Yeah. No, I watch Sunday, movies over.
Sunday, yes. Sunday they had like a rerun marathon on Showtime of all the Back to the Future.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I made it all the way.
I'll do it.
But even the first one, I was like, holy shit, this was awesome.
Yeah, no, the first one is like groundbreaking, bro. That's one of the best movies of all time. And now watching the other ones, like I start to see loopholes. You know, like I start to see plot holes.
I still don't see it. So don't tell me about them.
No. But I do. I start to.
Well, like, the only one that I saw from the that I thought about.
Well, how did Marty get? How did Marty get back to the old West?
Because he got struck by lightning, he got left in the 60s. Right. He got left in the 50s.
In the 50s. He got hit by lightning. Right. Doc got hit by lightning.
He gets sent back to 1885.
The lightning helped him reach the 1.6 gigawatts.
No. That's one. I'm talking about...
It all ties in. And at the second one, and when he's hovering to get... Remember, they're trying to get the sports almanac? And out of the
that
thing,
Doc is floating,
hit and there's
by lightning. Western Union comes
and gives him the letter, and the letter says that the DeLorean that he went back in is now in a mine somewhere, and then they go find it, and then it's in the mine, and then that's when they see the tombstone.
That's when I was taking a shit. That's a pivotal part of the of
that's
the
right. Interview. That's right. I was taking a shit.
That's
yes. And now I remember that whole part. Because when I originally saw that movie, I said, if I could go back in time, I would do the same thing and hide classic cars and put them in a mine of salt. So then later on in the future.
Or just some place still there. Some
place that still exists in the future. It'd be fine.
Well, I was watching Velocity. And there were
Velocity or Virtuosity?
No, Velocity, the channel, 412 on Comcast HD, and they found Audi Auto Union that there was only 32 made. They were Hitler actually ordered them, so it was race cars, and they all got destroyed except for a few of them, and one was found in the Ukraine in a mine, in a salt mine. That someone broke it up into pieces, so it didn't rust or anything.
But salt will make cars.
Yeah, salt. But I guess maybe they pack it.
Or it was a different type of mine.
I'm sure it was different.
A coal mine, maybe.
Maybe because salt deteriorates metal. That's why what happens.
It's whatever mine Johnny Carson's tapes are on.
That's what happens when you're up north and you're driving in the snow. That's why a lot of cars underneath they get really fucked up because they put salt.
On the roads.
Yeah. And that's why the cars, when they go on the road, a lot of them get rusted underneath. So that's why you constantly have to be washing.
Wouldn't it be because the salt and the water are mixing?
I will give either of you guys $10 if you can bring this back to the Oscars in one sentence.
Bring the conversation?
Yes.
Let me see.
One sentence to get from rusting cars in mines back to the Oscars. $10. The game is afoot.
Say the rules again.
You just got to bring one sentence to bring, like, speaking
from
of.
And salt then mine?
Salt mines back to the Oscars.
Oh.
Let's get this conversation back on track.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. So let's just backtrack. So that's where the DeLorean was.
But it's not an Oscar nominee.
No.
It wasn't an Oscar. That should have won the Oscar.
I could do it in two sentences, not one. One's tough.
I can't do it. That's
combine them.
Thinking. Well, you go, if you say...
I thought we were going to have a moment of science and
Michael just cut it
Mike
off.
Mike should have came aboard and be like, no, the mixture of salt and water is what creates rust. But if it's just air salt...
It's oxygen and iron sulfide. It's air. Salt. It's air.
Wherever
it's
the Johnny Carson tape, whatever mine Johnny Carson's tapes are in. Johnny Carson has his catalog, his whole catalog. It's in a mine somewhere.
Why?
All the masters. Because he owns, the family owns the masters to the Carson Show, the actual film.
Oh, okay. Well,
bring it back. Two sentences.
I would just say, yeah, you can't keep it in a salt mine. You have to keep it in a different kind of mine, just like the DeLorean, which was produced by Steven Spielberg. That was not
nominated for boom.
Boom.
Who is
again?
Movie.
That's two sentences.
It's too many steps, but I commend you. Yeah. I commend you for
that's
bringing it
way
back.
That's the only way I was like, I was trying to find another movie from a director
that involved a salt mine.
That involved a car of some kind.
Yeah,
I was, that, you know what I mean. But I couldn't piece it together. That's what took me. But that was my first guess. I was like, car, bring it back to Steven somebody who directed or produced a movie. But anyways,
we did. We did it.
Everybody that won an Oscar, because you guys watch more of it than I did, because I was watching on Hulu, and now I'm a proud member of Hulu Plus.
So am I. Congratulations. Just giving you my password.
$7.99 a month.
I'm just giving you my password.
Hey, have you seen The Following?
Yeah. Fucking great show, is it not?
And
Mike
Cult?
Doesn't like it. Mike
Cult?
Doesn't like it.
Meh. Have you seen Cult?
No.
Watch. It's only one episode. Watch Cult.
I've seen The Following. I'm like four or five. I need two episodes
and if
left.
You saw Cult, you would love it.
Nah, he doesn't like The Following.
No, because Cult is a TV show about a TV show and how the TV show has secret messages on it. So the TV show is about people who are on the internet constantly finding the secret messages that are being displayed.
In what show?
In the show Cult.
So there's a show within the show?
There's a show within the show. Kind of like, you know, conspiracy theories.
Sure.
But people are starting to get killed. Like, as you start figuring out stuff, people get killed.
Oh, I'm in on
Hulu
that one.
Plus.
I'm down.
$7.99.
No, I'm I'm a member.
Yeah, I know.
Just give me my password, bro. So, your old school pick.
You know what? I kind of want to...
No, you can't backtrack now.
I'm going to go with Phantoms. No, I really remember enjoying that movie. I'm going to revisit it because it came up again, and I remember really liking that movie. So, I'm going to go with Ben Affleck in Phantoms.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando, do you have a old school pick?
It's already probably been used, which is Back to the Future, the first one.
You can't say Back to the
Future.
That's a huge movie. The whole thing about old school picks is movies that are out of the stream of consciousness.
That
movie is definitely not out of the stream of consciousness.
Okay. I'll find something.
You would have been part of my last week's pick, bro.
What was it?
La Bamba.
Great movie, man.
Fucking love
it. I watched the music video of Richie. La Bamba with Los Lobos.
Yeah.
And that was I was like, that's all I really wanted.
And his brother crime, dude. He was a trash guy.
So
and he was such a great artist. His brother, the fuck up brother. Yeah, he was doing it. He wanted to go to school.
So you're going with what kind of movie is
Phantoms, like a horror thriller.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Weird Science.
Oh, okay. Solid. Oh, I loved that movie.
I saw it.
Weird Science.
I saw it before Back to the Future.
I love the fact that you're like this. Have you guys heard about this movie, Back to the Future? It's crazy. You know,
it's amazing. They don't really talk about it that much. It's not really that. It's not in the forefront, but people remember how good it was. Back to the Future.
And
it's
because like, we're older, and I was looking. Now I'm like looking at the DeLorean, and I'm looking at the actual date.
They sell them. There's a club.
I know they sell them with a $40,000 car. Can't buy no $40,000 DeLorean. That's a piece of shit car, man.
That guy has it in the video, in that thrift store video.
Dude, I wanted to get to that. We're gonna get to that because he hasn't heard. He doesn't know about Macklemore.
He's a great lyricist. Hey, that fucker
can that work. Album. Okay, let's not. Before we get ahead of ourselves, I'm going to give you my old school pick. Old school pick is The Last Boy Scout.
The Last Boy Scout.
The one with the Wayans brother?
I really genuinely feel like we've done that one before. I think you picked it before.
It's in the list. Check the list.
Wow, the guys are official. I'm a witness to this. I'm reporting on it live. There's actually hard copy printouts of past movies.
Comedy.
I think it was before we were keeping track.
This is legit. This looks
official. I don't believe I did, but for the sake of not going over, for the sake of not duplicating, I will take away my vote or take away my pick. So damn, that's a great movie.
It really is.
I was wondering why you weren't like more excited about it.
No. Like when he fucking shoots. Oh, you know what? Sports Mountain.
How can that be in a Sports Mountain?
I don't know.
We talked about it because Billy Blanks was in the movie. I know we did at one point.
We did talk about it. I think someone made that pick. But when he's blasting fucking bah, 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 and he gets saying, this a bitch, boo, ain't life a bitch or whatever, and he blasts his fucking I remember because we used it in the opening way back. I remember having to cut that part out.
It's all right. He has plenty more. He's coming up with another one.
The Principal.
Oh, The Principal?
Is that the...
What, that's he with a
Jim Belushi?
Jim Belushi?
No, that's The Substitute.
No, The Substitute is with Tom Berenger.
You're right. And I meant The Substitute, but I said The Principal. But both of them are really good.
Yeah, both of them are really good.
But I meant The Substitute is the one I meant. But The Principal is really fucking good, too. So I'm going to stay with The Principal.
Hey, man. This is the first time I like this old school stuff you guys do. Because because I am that guy. Really, I really don't go back and see movies. It has to be random. I was just dead tired, and that's how I ended up watching Weird Science, because I was so tired I didn't want to change channels.
And then Weird Science comes on, and you're like, I'll give this a shot again.
Yeah, and because it was on cable, so we were going to see boobs.
Yeah, that's when you see boobs.
Yeah.
I'm a fan
of
the boobs.
Those are old school boobs.
Yeah.
The Principal, we're going to go with The Principal.
The Principal.
James Belushi.
Honorable mention to The Substitute.
I don't know. They're very similar. So we got to give honorable mention because we can't. He's not going to pull it out too.
Yeah, you can't.
I was thinking about the substitute, but now that you guys mentioned.
The motorcycle and the jacket on.
And he's fucking checking out girls' underwear in class.
Yeah.
You dirtbag, I love you.
That's a solid choice. Solid. Died, both of them are great.
Jim Belushi died.
No, his
brother died.
John Belushi died.
Yeah.
What's he here? Oh, yeah. So I wanted to... You haven't heard Macklemore, and I know you're not a big... You're not into hip-hop, but you should listen to Macklemore. First of all, the song out on the radio is really fucking cool, really fucking catchy.
We can play a little bit.
Yeah, we'll play a little bit of it, but I want you to see the video... Because, Orlando already alluded to it. But when I first, because my friend told me, hey, you guys put up this guy. You guys should listen to this guy. Pretty cool. His name is Macklemore, and he has a new album out, and it's climbing.
I've heard the name. Someone dropped the name on me.
I said it last week in the podcast. And he said it's climbing the charts, whatever. And I go, I've never heard of it. So... So then I was like, well, I'm going to YouTube a few of his songs. If I like it, I'll go buy the album. Like, because he's like, oh, it's a new guy. And I'm all up for supporting the new guys. So then I clicked.
He's local? He's from Miami?
No, he's from Seattle.
Oh, okay.
He's from Seattle. So then I clicked on the video. And within the first, 4 seconds, before the beat even dropped, I was like, that's it. This guy gets my support.
And
Yeah, hold on. Oh, I bought the album. And... when I tell you...
You bought the whole album?
The whole album. I bought both, two of them. One that he had before, but one of them is a remix album where they had, like, it was really like 5 songs. Mm-hmm. But I bought the whole album, and the whole album is fucking fire. Like, this guy talks about everything. He talks about, well, gay rights. He talks about, but like, the song that you're hearing on the radio,
right?
The Thrift Shop, it's, like, silly, but it's, like, the radio. It's what we were talking about last week with Angel. It's that... you make one for the radio, and then the rest, you know.
Yeah.
He's a recovering alcoholic, and he talks a lot about like giving up, and he talks. There's one about starting over called "Starting Over," where he was known.
The song "Starting Over" is about starting over.
It's about starting over from the count when he fell off the wagon, and then having to start over again, and not feeling bad about disappointing a lot of people because he was known for the guy who was able to quit drinking and get his life together.
Oh, and then he fucked up and then he started up. Over. So he named the song Starting Over.
Right. And then he said...
solid.
Hey, you're an idiot.
I was just waiting for the thing to load.
All right, relax. I'm having a conversation. The conversation's going. I don't need you to add your quips.
So
this isn't a comedy thing here, man. The fuck?
Not this time. This is my question. Does he make the beats?
The guy does the beats, which the album, the name of the artist is Macklemore and...
which one's the album?
It's called The Heist.
Okay. There's 3 heists here.
One of them is probably with Bad Words, the other one's not with Bad Words, and the other one's a deluxe edition. I got it.
I've made the mistake before.
It's 1070, I'm getting the deluxe.
Because I used to listen when I listen, you know, I listen to metal. I listen to like a lot
of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Ryan Lewis is the one that does the beats.
So
the name of the artist, when you look it up, it says Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Like it's not.
They're like the team.
Yeah, it's like DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Yeah,
that's Sometime. The same way.
That's gonna be the closing number.
Summertime. No, this is gonna be the closing number.
All right,
you could be that. That could be the beginning.
Oh, I'm gonna go with that. Summertime.
In February,
but it's not summer.
It's summertime is a state of mind, guys. We live in Miami. It was 80 fucking degrees today. It's summertime.
I love that shit. I love summertime. That song. I'm a big DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince fan.
Yeah, me too. Here it is. A beat. All right,
so here's Macklemore.
Hey, Macklemore. Can we go thrift shopping?
What?
This is
get the actual.
Just type in.
This is the lyrics on screen, but it said official, so I went with the official one. Here we go.
They're gonna show advertising first.
What?
Go big
what,
screen on
what,
it, player.
What?
Big screen.
What?
Whoa, shit.
What, the DeLorean looks.
What?
No, there's a white girl drinking out of a straw. There's a white guy with a black girl and a white girl.
Why are you narrating the video?
There is a DeLorean with 5-star rims on it. Momos to be exact. White guy.
Hold on, I can't hear it.
DeLorean door goes up. Into the club
like, what up, I got a big pack, I'm just pumped up. Oh, he's white from a thrift shop. Ice on the fringe is so damn frosty, the people like, damn, that's a cold ass honky. Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine, dressed in all pink, set my gator shoes, those are green, draped in a leopard mink, girl standing next to me, probably should have washed this, smells like R. Kelly sheets. But shit, it was 99 cents. I get copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in. Bummy and grungy fucking men. I am stunting and flossing and saving my money. And I'm hella happy that's a.
It reminds me of Eric Myers. If Eric Myers should start rapping. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand me down? Your lord jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie Brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game. Hell no, I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those. The sneakerheads would be like, ah, he got the Velcro. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a comma. This is. Would you be mad if I said that he is not the best white rapper? Well, like, it's good.
Nobody's gonna be Eminem.
No. I'm talking about like this style of, because even
this
Eminem
is only this song. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Wow.
You get the album and you get a real lyricist. This is right. The radio hit. This is what's going to put. This is what
that record label is going to get him attention.
This is what record labels are going to make money off of.
It's the number one single right now.
Number one single. This is what we're going to make. But then you buy the album and he spits fire. And then you look and you go, oh fuck. I bought this album because not because of this song. I just thought the DeLorean, like, oh fuck, anybody that rocks a DeLorean in the
yeah,
video,
yeah,
I'm
fucking yeah.
down. I'm good to see more of. Then you start looking through his other songs, his other videos, and you go, hey, this guy's like deep as fuck. He's real.
Well, there's another, like, if we're gonna in the white rapper genre, where there
it's only one.
The white.
There's only one white rapper. A genre. It's Eminem.
I would say nerd rapper then. The like nerd rap. You know, like that's a different. That's a two different worlds, man. The like, cause there's like the Asher Roth guy. Have you ever Asleep in the Bread Aisle? That guy's really good. My friend Nate turned me on him.
Yellow Wolf is a beast.
I've heard of him. There's another guy named George Watsky. He blew up on Twitter. I mean, on YouTube, and he's done like Def Poetry Jam. Like he's one of those. He's like one of these. Real smart, real well put together lyrics. Everything is super well structured. So I mean, there's that, and it all falls under that. Like I guess white,
totally different
nerd rapping,
totally different vibe. I'm not. So you don't have to put this in the fucking podcast. I'm just saying, totally different vibe. We're listening to the song, "Same Love," which
you put a little of it.
I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, cause I could draw, my uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face, she's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Trippin', yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes, all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago. Bye-bye. I don't know.
And I can't change.
Yo, we could chip in and buy a DeLorean. Yo, there's one here for $10,000. Another one for $16,000. And there's some one with 998 miles.
Are you seriously shopping for a DeLorean right now?
Yes. There's one with 908 or 998 original miles.
Give me a second. I'm into the song now.
I would think hip hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay. Gets dropped on the daily. We become so known to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance
for him. Lancer does not give a fuck about what we're doing. Yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. You should buy it, bro. It's the same hate that's
caused wars from religion. You ruined a song, Orlando. I'll be fucking happy. You wrote a song.
What,
I want you to remember this moment when I throw you the keys and I go, drive it.
And then you go, and then I use the second you sit down in the car, the song kicks in. We're going back in town. Bing, oh,
bing, bing, and it's bing. The only song that plays.
The only one.
One of my favorite episodes is what's his name? American Dad?
Yeah.
Was the DeLorean episode?
Oh, shit. This shit's in Florida, dog.
You fucking shopping on the podcast?
Yes, this fucking DeLorean is in Florida.
You go buy a $10,000 catalog?
No, this is $21,000. It has 998 miles, original miles.
998.
Original miles.
All right. Tune in next week when we all have a DeLorean.
I told you I feel like I'm going to hit the Fantasy Five tonight, so might as well start shopping now, player.
Macklemore is really good.
I like it. I mean,
and then this song is just completely different from his single right now.
Right.
Yeah.
This song is completely different than every other song on the album.
That I enjoy. Bananas. I enjoy different things.
But I'm telling you, that's
but the song, the album again, is, this is not my thing.
I get it.
But I totally appreciate the writing. And there's other guys that are really good, like, that have been out for a little while. If you want to look up, Asher Roth. Has some amazing stuff.
But he's not the... I just feel as if you're putting Macklemore in the same category. And I don't know this guy.
That's what I'm saying. Listen to him. You may like him too.
Were you putting him in the same category as like a spoof kind of...
No, this guy's not a...
No, Asher Roth will have like a real strong college following.
Yeah, he's got... It's just a different demo. He's using hip-hop to get to a different demographic. It's not... The same way this is not... It's just a different target demographic. But it's still hip-hop. So it's like, you know, instead of targeting a black audience, you're targeting a young college student. So Asher Roth was this guy that he would do like college tours, and he was real smart rap, you know, real smart lyrics. And
you'll know him. If you hear a single, you'll know
there's
him.
Some, yeah.
I can't tell you his single.
There's a good song called La Di Da. And then there's the big album for him was called Asleep in the Bread Out. And this is not my music. I just happen to really like this guy.
Right.
So. If that says anything. And then the newer guy is George Watsky on YouTube. You can look him up. And he's dope. He's that fast rapper kid on YouTube. It's like pale kid, raps fast.
Should we call Alex? We should call Alex.
No, I'm not calling him.
I want to call him.
You can call him after we finish the show. So, fuck that. Anyways, so... thank you, Lando, for coming by. Stopping by
again.
Oh,
man. Appreciate thank you, that. Man.
Let us know when you buy the DeLorean.
Thank you. Yes. No, it's
if you hit the fantasy,
DeLorean.
You're going to hook us up with some.
No, it's our DeLorean.
As long as you don't go
88.
Oh, shit. So, anyways, thank you for coming by, stopping by. Lando and I will be this weekend on
first road trip.
Yeah.
First man. Road trip.
You guys are going to have so much fun.
No, and me together. Too, as a comedian, the first time I leave
really? Get
the
out.
Surrounding area. Yeah, man.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
For real. That's oh, cool, man.
That's an awesome.
So we're gonna go
provided by Nary Signs.
Yeah, we're gonna
so
go
Nary Signs production.
Dominic Perenzin, Orlando Label, and myself. We're gonna do a show in Marco Island on Thursday and Sunday. Not through Thursday and Sunday. So make sure if you are in the area or you feel like taking an hour and a half drive, if you're in Miami, stop on by.
Captain Brian's off the hook.
Captain Brian's off the hook.
How are we going to do this? Are we riding together?
We'll ride together. We can ride. We can take, you know.
We'll take the Prius. And then, the Prius don't waste no gas.
I'm down with that.
Saving money.
Yeah. Saving money.
I will be saving money by staying in town hosting at the Miami Improv this weekend with Steve Trevino.
Yeah. Steve's a good guy. I've worked with him a bunch of times. He's a good guy.
Cool.
So okay. Really fun. He's like really helpful, gives advice. So
I'll try not to fuck it up.
Yeah.
He gave me the advice, quit. Just quit your job and jump in the deep end of the pool.
Nice.
That's what they told
me. That sounds scary.
Yeah. Very. Check us out on at Orlando Label on Twitter at Hey Lando. That's HeyLando. At Mike Mercadal at Nary Signs. Check out the WuBro Pod page, WuBroPod. Make sure you click on like, tell your friends about it. Posting a lot of fun and I don't know, movie related news, but it's not just that. We put sports and goofy shit too. So
everything. Anything that we find interesting. I've taken to posting, I post a lot. Yeah.
We've been posting. So,
it's just cool stuff.
Like it on Facebook, facebook.com/WUBROPOD. Make sure you tell that to your friends. Subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, and tell them, because that is how winning is done.
This is done, man.
Oh, hi, I'm that guy. Built so fly, get a silk bow tie. Don't know why I'm built so fly, but I am, no lie. Oh, my. Roll by, get a low ride huffy. Sitting on the pegs, shoulder toes puffy. Cuff rolled up to my calf, clash with the ass, bat with a swag like Buffy. Gotta be the one to bite the bullet. I'm a sinner, but I bet I could have been a better man. I wanna be Zen, but I guess I better some medicine instead of meditating, but I get it when I can. I don't wanna wind up in the gutter with a bottle of malt. Like a minute, cause I never got a call telling me that it's all figured out. I'm sick of doubt, but I'm looking at the wall. Part of me was hoping to be caught up in the moment to be open to the good of the god of me, but I gotta love out of me. Gonna get that out of me, become a bit of an oddity. What's the buddy get to find about the thought of me? Who's he? You gotta be kidding me. Do me like Gabourey Sidibe. If you see me with a chickadee, no diggity, it'll be giggity, giggity, giggity. Gonna send it like a letter from above with a woman that I love, cause I get it like I live. But if my baby's gay, I'll say, you go gay, baby. Work that crib, work that bib, burp that kid. Screw police, pull that car. I don't want a Jesus piece, but I want a Reese's piece and a Kit Kat bar. I want everybody focusing to get at me to let them in to kick it for the betterment of innocent Americans who never want to settle for the pop. Or knocks, my bedroom rocks, and the beat still knocks when I sort my socks. I'm up with a love and no sex from the tip of my head to my gorgeous knees.